As we enter into the sermon this morning, for some of you who are coming new to this place, we have been going through this great adventure. You know, it's an adventure. I love adventures because we don't know what's happening next. I didn't know what's going to happen today till I was praying to the Lord. You know, one of the things that the Lord enabled us, I hope you will appreciate how God is speaking to our hearts. God is speaking to my heart every time. And, you know, what we have been doing for those who are new to this church is that we started from the beginning. From Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 on the first Sunday of 2018. And we have been going through this series so wonderfully. Some of the passages that you hear, you don't hear often because it's something very different. It's not a verse by verse teaching from the Bible, but it is a part of what the Lord wants us to know from His Word. I totally believe that the Bible is an undivided word of truth. The Bible is an undivided word of God. Every passage in the Bible relates to us if we are careful to listen to how God is talking to us. Many people think that the New Testament is only meant for us. The Old Testament was meant for the people of Israel. But I will tell you this, that is not a truth statement. The Old Testament also is for us as an example and a means to learn that we don't repeat the same mistakes that they did. That is the reason we have the Old Testament with us along with the New Testament. So whenever you read the Old Testament, remember this. Imagine God in all His wisdom. He planned everything so beautifully. Everything reflects to the New Testament, to Jesus. So the Old Testament is like a finger pointing to Jesus. Every part of the Old Testament, you can see Jesus behind it. The Son of God is pointing to Jesus. And everything in the New Testament, it is again pointing back to Jesus and to the new era that we are all going through. So as we go through the Old Testament, I am so happy that God is speaking to many of us. I'm hearing some very good reports and I praise God for that. For those who came the last Sunday, you remember we spoke from one of the articles in the tabernacle, which is called the lampstand. And I spoke about how we should shine in this world as the God's lampstand. You know, just like the lampstand was kept in the tabernacle, God has placed us in the church for a reason. The reason for a lampstand is to shine in the darkness. The lampstand needs to shine. If you don't shine in the world that you have been placed in, the reason is lost. You are not doing the purpose that you are intended to. If you buy a car, for example, you have a car, that car does not take you from point A to point B. The reason of the car is not there to exist. The car does not need to exist. There is a reason for everything. The reason we have been placed in this world is to shine as the Lamb of God, as the lampstand of God. So I also spoke about just that, like the lamb is receiving that pure olive oil to shine, we need the blessed Holy Spirit to shine in our dark world. When we shine faithfully as God's lampstand, God's glory will be revealed to everyone who is living in this dark world around us. So wherever you go, you are like the light of the world. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And that is what God has spoken up in the last Sunday. Today we are going to come to our session number 18. We are on session number 18. We are going to look at the significance of the ransom that Jesus Christ has paid for us on the cross of Calvary. Ransom is something that we are going to understand. What is meant by ransom? How did Christ pay the ransom? So we are going to go into depth on that. So we are going to look into an Old Testament passage where God has mentioned about ransom. Can you open your Bibles, those who have your Bibles with you? Open to Exodus chapter 30. We are going to read a few verses from Exodus chapter 30. In the midst of God speaking about the different articles and the different rules of the tabernacle, He is pausing. God is pausing for a moment in chapter 30, Exodus 30 verse number 11. He's speaking to Moses about what we call as a ransom or a ransom money. And I want to speak about that, and I want us to dwell, go a little deeper and understand how that is relating to Christ. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, read along with me. I will read from my Bible, which is a New King James Version, Exodus chapter 30, from verse 11 to verse number 16. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "When you take the census of the children of Israel for their number, then every man shall give a ransom for himself to the Lord. When you number them, that there may be no plague among them when you number them. This is what everyone among those who are numbered shall give: half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs. The half shekel shall be an offering to the Lord. Everyone included among those who are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering to the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel. When you give an offering to the Lord to make atonement for yourself, and you shall take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of meeting, that it may be a memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord to make atonement for yourself." A very interesting passage. It's actually a very boring. For those who read the Bible, you feel some parts are boring, some are interesting. I've heard about that. Some things are kind of puts you to sleep when you read through it. But this passage is actually profound. Because when I was going into the depth of it, it speaks about taking a census of the children of Israel. Everyone who is 20 years old and above, everyone shall give an offering. The offering is one offering, not two offering, not different offering. It's one offering that everyone should give to the Lord. It is half a shekel. Half a shekel is a money that everybody can afford. There is no one who cannot but give. This is something that the Lord's requirement is, everybody equal before the sight eye of the Lord. Because why it is that, if you understand, it says that everyone should give a ransom for himself. This is the ransom, a money that you are giving for himself. Everyone who is 20 year old and above. This ransom is a monetary one, half a shekel. It says down below, it is to make atonement for yourself, for your souls. So what the children of Israel are doing is, by giving this half a shekel as an offering to the Lord, they are acknowledging that God is the one who delivered them, and they are giving back to him the price of that redemption. They are giving back to the Lord. And they are acknowledging that, "Lord, my life is governed by you. You are the owner. You are my owner. I'm giving you for what you have redeemed me." So to understand, it has a principle of redemption. We need to know how God dealt with the people of Israel in the past days. So you all know that the people of Israel were in Egypt. They were under the bondage of the ruler of Egypt, who was Pharaoh. And they were as a slave laborers in Egypt. They were bonded slaves of the Pharaoh, who was the king of Egypt. As I've always told you, Egypt represents the world. Pharaoh represents Satan, who is the authority over the people. And God used Moses to deliver the people from the bondage in Egypt, to take them to the promised land. So everything has a spiritual meaning. So when we come to what God did, he allowed 10 plagues to happen in the land of Egypt. 10 different plagues. Each plague was more intense than the other. The 10th plague was really the heart-wrenching, because God said that, "I am going to kill the firstborn of every family who is living here. unless you do something, you have to make a substitute for that firstborn. If you are able to substitute someone or something else than the firstborn, God will spare that firstborn from death. So the condemnation of God is that every firstborn of every family is going to die. But then for the people of Israel, God said each family shall take a lamb, shall sacrifice that lamb instead of the firstborn, take the blood. And so when we understand this, this word ransom is something that I want to speak to you. You know, we hear about ransom money. Somebody is kidnapped and they ask for a ransom money. And that is much related to this, because if you see, the children of Israel had to smear the blood of that animal on the doorpost and the lintel, because the angel of death would be going across the land of Egypt. Every house that does not have the blood smeared on the doorpost, the firstborn of that family is going to die. Starting from the Pharaoh's palace, even to the smallest laborer, every house, the firstborn is going to die. The firstborn is under the condemnation of death. And so the spiritual principle that we can understand is that there is a principle of redemption. The redemption says that an animal was slain, an innocent animal without blemish was killed. The blood was applied on the doorpost so that that blood, the life of the animal, was put in place against the firstborn who was condemned to die. This speaks about the redemption that God brought through His Son, Jesus Christ. Just like the blood of the Lamb took away the punishment or the judgment meant for the firstborn of the family, we know that Jesus was the Passover Lamb that God had prepared before the foundations of the world. His Son would become the Passover Lamb, and that blood of Jesus that was not smeared on the doorpost and the lintel, but was smeared on the cross, the up and the vertical and the horizontal, exactly like the time of Egypt, the blood of His only begotten Son, Jesus, was smeared on the cross so that the death sentence that was upon each and every one of us was passed away from our lives, and we would get the new life that God has promised us. So Jesus is our Passover Lamb. And He was the Lamb in the Gospel of John chapter 1. I believe it's verse 27, where John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundations of the world." Jesus came to this world not just to live a good life, but to die and become a Passover Lamb so that He can take away the punishment of death that was upon each and every one of us, and that He took away that punishment of death, so that when we apply this blood into our hearts and accept Jesus as our Savior, we are redeemed from death into life. This is a beautiful illustration of the Jesus who came in as a Passover Lamb. And so, you know, God is not a respecter of persons. So when He told the people of Israel, He said, you know what? The rich should not give more, the poor should not give less. The price of every man for an atonement is half a shekel. That is what you should give as an offering, as a ransom money. And that was actually figuring out the ransom that Jesus is going to pay with His own life. It is a protection against death, a death which would come as a result of God's judgment. This redemption is available for everyone, and only for a small payment of half a shekel. And what did they do with the money? They took that money to furnish the tabernacle. But most important, you would know and understand that this was a ransom unto the Lord. So today I want to go a little deeper, and I'm making this very simple for everybody to understand about how did Jesus become a ransom for us. As an application, I want to ask six questions to understand the concept of ransom. How Jesus became the ransom. With this question and answer, I hope to make you clear how Jesus Himself became the ransom. The first question, let me ask you, is what is a ransom? Now, the dictionary defines ransom as a price paid to release a captive. The Greek word for the word ransom is called lutron, which means a payment is made to release somebody from some kind of bondage. So a ransom is a price that was paid for releasing and giving somebody freedom. Those who were under bondage, it was a price to be paid to release that person and give that person freedom. So the second question comes, why is a ransom necessary? So to understand why a ransom is necessary, we need to go to the first pages of the Bible. So when God created Adam, He created him without any sin. There was no sin in Adam's life, and God brought Eve to Adam. And God gave only one commandment to Adam that we find in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Only one commandment. God is not somebody who puts a load of things, but when He tells something, that's something we need to obey, what God tells us. What was the commandment that we read in Genesis 2, 16 and 17? God said, "You may surely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For the day that you eat it, you will die." God said the day that you eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, the day that you eat it, you will die. But when we see in Genesis chapter 3, first Eve got tempted. She took the fruit, she ate it. It says she gave to her husband Adam, he also ate it. Suddenly we don't see they have died. They were still alive because they were talking to God. So what really happened? In order to understand that, there were two deaths that took away that really happened the moment they ate the forbidden fruit. Number one, the cloak or the cloth of righteousness that they had around them, the glory of God. God had put His glory around Adam and Eve, and they were walking around naked, but they were not ashamed because God's glory was surrounding them. You know, God has His cloak of righteousness, the cloak of glory. They were walking around, but they were not ashamed, it says. They were filled with the righteousness of God. That cloak fell off the moment they committed the sin before God. The moment they disobeyed and ate the fruit, it says, they saw each other, they were naked. The first realization is God's cloak of glory fell away and they became sinful. So they did what they knew how to do it. They sewed some clothes from the fig leaves, but still they were naked when God came to them. So the first thing that happened was that spiritually that relationship with God was broken off. When God came to the garden, He could not find them like before. He's saying, "Adam, where are you? Where are you, Adam? I, every time I see you here, where are you?" Adam says, "I was naked, I'm ashamed, I hid myself." You know why? Because that relationship, that way to connect to God was broken by that sin. And Adam sinned before God. And so spiritually they died. And so what God did, God had to clothe them with the skin of an animal. Genesis chapter 3 verse 21 says, God Himself, He clothed the man and the woman with the skin of an innocent animal. That's the picture of an animal representing and taking over the punishment of Adam and Eve. But not only that, they became spiritually cut off from God. God had to drive them from the Garden of Eden. No more could God fellowship with Adam and Eve because they were sinful before God. And also, not only they became sinful, but death also came into Adam and Eve's life. Because you know that death was not there when God created Adam. He was supposed to be living forever. But it says in the next chapters, when we come to chapter number 5, Adam died and every descendant died because death also came. So the penalty that happened, that came about in their life, was both physical death and spiritual death. They were died before God. And so today, as the children of Adam and Eve, we are spiritually dead in sins and trespasses. The reason why we all are getting older and our bodies are getting weaker and we are getting sick in our bodies is because there is a death that is reigning over us. Physically, we are going to die one day. Because this body cannot live forever. There is a death hanging on the door. And that is always there physically. Spiritually, we are separated from God because of our sin. And so, in order, and Jesus said in John 8:34, truly I say to you, everyone who commits a sin is a slave of sin. We are all under the bondage of sin. We are all being slaves of sin and death. And that is what has happened. And so a ransom needed to be paid to redeem us and deliver us from that power of that sin and death. The third question comes, who gets the ransom? Now, this is very interesting. I've heard from pastors who have preached that this ransom was paid to Satan. I've heard about that. According to this view, it says that Christ paid the ransom to Satan to remove us from his clutches, because everybody is under the clutches of Satan. But if you go into a deeper study of the Word of God, it says that the ransom was not paid to Satan. It was not that God had to pay Satan a ransom to let the people go from the sin. It was because Satan was not paid on the cross. He was defeated on the cross of Calvary. Hebrews 2:12 says, the Son of God became human. Through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. When Jesus died on the cross, he died to destroy the power of death that the devil had. And so there was no negotiations with Satan. So who got the ransom? The Bible says it is God the Father who received the ransom. Why did he receive the ransom? Because his law was that everybody who sins shall die. And the wages of sin is death. The wages when you commit sin is death. But it is a gift of God who has given us eternal life through Jesus. Let me give you two verses very quickly from the passage to establish my point. Ephesians 5:2 says, Christ gave himself up for us as an offering to God. Christ offered himself to God as a ransom. Hebrews 9:14 says, Christ offered himself without blemish to God. Both the verses say that the offering was made to God, and it was to God who received the ransom. The fourth question is, what is the ransom price? You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 2:6 says that Jesus himself became the price, the ransom that was paid. The ransom price is the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not the life that he just lived on the earth, but the life he gave up by his death. Jesus said, the Son of Man, in Mark 9:31, he said like this, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men and they will kill him. Jesus offered himself as the ransom money to be paid for that. You know, in the Gospels we read over 65 times, Jesus is calling himself as a Son of Man. The reason, because only a Son of Man can be killed. God cannot be killed. You cannot kill God. So Jesus had to become the Son of Man to be killed and to die for us so that he can give his life as a ransom money. So the ransom price was paid when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. And not only that, his last drop of blood was shed for the redemption of our sin. So what was, if you see in a figurative term, what was the price that was paid by Jesus? It was his blood. Jesus paid the price with his own blood. He shed the blood on the cross of Calvary, that because his blood was the life in him, and that blood was shed completely, and he paid that price for our sakes. Jesus paid for us in the cross of Calvary. How was the ransom paid? It was paid voluntarily. Nobody forced Jesus to die. It was not coerced by Jesus. Mark 10:45 says, the Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus was not a receiver. He was a giver. And so Jesus said, blessed it is to give than to receive. So Jesus gave his life voluntarily. And Jesus said, if you examine the passage in John's Gospel chapter 10, 17 and 18, Jesus said, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. Jesus voluntarily, He gave up His life to become the ransom. The price of our redemption was very costly. Even though we got it for free, but it was very costly because Jesus paid with His own blood. Why did He do that? Because He loved us so much. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And Jesus loved us so much, He willingly submitted to the will of the Father and gave Himself as a redemption price for our sin. Sixth and the last question is, how many does the ransom cover? It says, Mark 10:45 says, He gave His life for everyone. You know, the price that Jesus paid is for the entire humankind. But some people will benefit, others will not. The people who will benefit are those who will accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. They are the only ones who are going to be benefiting. The people who reject Jesus, who will disregard Him, who will not walk in the way of Jesus, they are not going to be benefiting from this ransom. Apostle Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5 and 6. There is one mediator before God, between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all. Jesus gave Himself as a ransom for all, as our mediator between God. What a wonderful thing that we can. So no one can be excluded from the salvation because Jesus paid it all. Let me close this with an illustration. In the year 1193, there was a king. I already spoke that Jesus gave His life as a ransom for all, and no one will be excluded from this salvation who embraces the ransom of Jesus Christ. The only people who are going to be excluded are those who reject Christ, who do not accept Him as the Lord and Savior. So let me come to this illustration of a king. King Richard I. He was returning from leading a crusade in the Holy Land. And as he returned through Europe, there was a man called Leopold V who captured him in Austria. He demanded a ransom for this king's release. The price that he set was 150,000 marks. That was equal to 3 tons of silver. This was a big ransom money demand. But the people of England, it says, they loved the king so much, they submitted to extra taxation. Many nobles, they donated their fortunes for the release of this king. And so what happened? After many months, they raised the money, they paid off the money, and this king returned to England. And that is where we get the expression, a king's ransom. But to us, this king's ransom is better applied to the tremendous price that Jesus, the King of Kings, has paid on the cross for us. You know, the King, our Lord Jesus, was not being ransomed, but he paid the ransom so that we can be set free from death. Let me tell you, this was the most expensive ransom that somebody could pay, is the price of his own life. So when I'm closing this, let me ask you this question. To each one of you right now, I want you to think about it. Have you received the ransom that Jesus paid for you on the cross? Has your life been released from the condemnation of God? When I was preparing this message, the Holy Spirit brought a thought that I was startled by. I want to share with the church this morning. The Holy Spirit spoke in my heart that some of you are part and coming to the church meetings, but your lives have not been transformed. You have not become the person that Jesus wants you to be. And that is showing up in your day-to-day life. If your lives have not been released from the condemnation of death, because I don't know what has happened, I don't know your past, but the way the Lord spoke to me so clearly, you have really not accepted the death of Christ on your behalf, and you are still continuing as if going with the flow. But the Lord said that unless truly you accept Christ in your heart, something should happen from within. What is happening is that your life should be transformed from the carnality of the flesh. You cannot behave like a carnal person. You cannot do the things that the people in this world are doing. Because we read in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So at this point of time, I want you to, everyone, close your eyes and bow your heads. The Holy Spirit has spoken to me very clearly, and you know the fruit of your life. How can somebody know whether you are a genuine child of God or not? By your actions. By your fruit. Just like you realize a tree by the fruit that it brings out. It is by the fruit in your life that others can see whether you are a genuine child of God. If you are bearing the fruit of the Spirit, starting with love and with joy and with long suffering, with patience, gentleness, self-control, is the fruit coming in your life? If those fruits are not being displayed, I want you to re-examine your life and truly understand, are you really born again? Have you really accepted the price that Jesus paid for you on the cross? Because you can go like this, attend meeting after meeting, hear message after message, with no change coming in your life. And I'm telling you, one day, when you stand before God, He will tell you, I never knew you. You did everything, but I never knew you because you never accepted me as your Savior. I have never been your father. You have never been your child. I know these are strong words, but I am speaking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit this morning. I want you to truly examine your life. You have just one life to live. And this life will soon be over. And we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I want to plead to you, examine your life. Examine your actions. Examine your attitude. Examine your priorities. Look where you are. This is not a game. This is your life in its entirety. This is your future. Have you submitted yourself in the hand of God? If not, today I'm just giving you an invitation. Invite Jesus to come into your heart. Cry out to Him. You may not be wanting to do it today. I'm not asking you to raise your hands. I'm not asking any one of you to do anything of this. But you have to honestly come to a realization that you need to be a child of God. And you have to be a new creation. And everything has been transformed in your day-to-day life. Praise God. Can you stand up on your feet right now? As we sing our final song. And let us worship the Lord together. You know, there is the blood of Christ has been poured out on your behalf. Jesus paid it all. He shed His last drop of blood for you. He shed everything on the cross. And why He did it? Because He loved you so much. He don't want you to be destroyed for eternal death. He wants to save you and give you eternal life. You need to accept the sacrifice of Jesus. He has paid in full. We don't need to pay anything from us. Jesus has paid the price of our ransom. He has paid it full to the end. Hallelujah. There is power in the blood of Jesus.